This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
With lithium batteries, what you have to think about is your method of transport. So if your batteries that you have are too large, too energy dense, you're going to have to use ground as a transport. And you can always call us. We'll help people work through it. We really want to make sure that, you know, the sellers don't get caught in doing the wrong thing because the fines can be a little steep.
I'm Kiyomi Kiyoshi.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and the inspiration to help you manage and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And yes, this is episode 300.
What episode?
It's episode 300, Kaomi, yes.
I just had to hear it again. I had to pinch myself.
Now we can get back to normal episodes that are like 301, 302.
You might hear the excitement drop from my voice a little, but hey, you know, 399, maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, let's not drop the enthusiasm. I mean, we got to keep this energy up.
It'll drop by like 1%, but...
Okay, that's not noticeable.
Exactly. So Griff.
Yeah.
Who is our guest for this week on our 300th episode?
I knew you were going to say that. Our guest this week is William Schoonover, and he's the Associate Administrator of the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. He's going to outline the requirements for eBay sellers when it comes to shipping anything hazardous. But before we meet William, I know that there's news this week, so I won't ask you. I'll just say, let's get to the eBay news this week, Kaomi.
Yeah, there is definitely eBay news this week, and there are actually two big seller news topics: seller update and USPS rate increases. Let's start with the 2024 summer seller update, which was announced last Wednesday. There's lots of parts to this update, and you can read about all of them in detail on the summer update page in the Seller Center. Just go to Seller Center, hover over the resources tab, and select updates. There's also a set of community pages that are dedicated to answering questions about each aspect of the 2024 summer update. You can find that page at community.ebay.com and by clicking the link for seller news.
Yeah. And we have a few questions about this seller update, which we'll be answering at the end of the episode, as usual.
Also in the news this week, the United States Postal Service is raising rates in July. There will be two sets of updates, one on July 1st and one on July 14th. On July 1st, Priority Mail and Ground Advantage rates will increase for most shipments up to 10 pounds. The increases vary by weight and zone. You can check how these changes may impact your shipments on the eBay shipping calculator beginning July 1st. In addition to these increases, on July 1st, Priority Mail flat rate will increase. The new flat rate envelope rate will be $8.18. The legal flat rate envelope will increase to $8.47, and the padded flat rate envelope will increase to $8.95. In addition, the small flat rate box will cost $8.71 starting July 1st, with medium and large flat rate boxes rates increasing to $15.19 and $20.69.
Ugh, those are some big increases. Is that it, I hope?
You know it's not. Of course, there's more.
Oh, dear. Okay.
On July 14th, first class mail and eBay standard envelope rate will also increase. The eBay standard envelope new rates will be 69 cents for a 1 ounce envelope, 97 cents for a 2 ounce envelope, and $1.25 for a 3 ounce envelope. Media mail rates will increase an average of 9.9%, and the signature confirmation fee will increase 20 cents from $3.50 to $3.70.
Yikes.
And one notable decrease.
Oh, good.
USPS domestic insurance costs will overall decrease by 10%.
All right. Well, no one likes rate increases, but you may ask, if you sell on eBay, what is my call to action here, Griffin Kaomi? Well, it's easy. If you're using calculated shipping, you don't need to take any action. Your listings will automatically reflect the new rates at the start of July 1st and July 14th. And if you charge flat rate amounts for shipping, that is, you set your own flat rate, well, then you might want to review those amounts and make sure they reflect the increases coming in July. You may need to raise them a little, but that's the downside of flat rates, is that they don't obviously increase. So you'd have to do that manually.
Yeah, great advice. And one other point to keep in mind and consider, especially if you do use calculated shipping in your listings, these increases impact all sellers, not just you. So don't put too much time worrying about the impact on your competition. Their rates are going up too.
And in the past 2 decades here on eBay, that I've been here, USPS rate increases have not had impacts on sales. But I have to tell you, they have had an impact on other carriers who are constantly adjusting their rates to balance profitability with their competition. So they got to stay competitive as well. So when one carrier raises rates, this is not a promise or a prediction, but we often see a competing carrier come out with reduced rates.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah.
Well, Griff, I'm going to go get some other work done, maybe celebrate a little because it's our 300th episode.
Oh, geez. Okay. Good for you.
So yeah, have fun talking to William and I'll be back in a few to help with some of those questions from Seller Update.
Sounds good. We'll see you then, Kayomi. There are some rules and regulations that govern which kind of items you can ship through which kind of services. And it may be a little bit confusing, but here to give us some insight, please welcome the Associate Administrator for the PHMSA, Bill Schoonover. Bill, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Griff. Thanks for having me here.
What is the PHMSA and what's their mission?
So the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration's mission is to protect people and the environment by advancing the safe transportation of energy and other hazardous materials that are essential to our daily lives. And that's a lot of words to basically say we regulate the 1.2 million shipments of hazardous materials that go through the U.S. every day.
Now, the first thing that comes to my mind when you say this is the recent news about lithium batteries that overheat while in transit.
Absolutely. So that's one of our hazardous materials. People often think of hazardous materials as the big tanker trucks or rail cars that are rolling down our tracks and our highways every day. But we often forget that they are a large part of e-commerce and what gets transported every day and more, where our estimates are about 10% of e-commerce is hazardous materials.
So I mentioned the lithium batteries. What other hazardous materials and dangerous goods are important for eBay sellers to think about when they're listing items?
You know, eBay sellers can sell a lot of things on the website. You could sell things that are household products. You could sell personal care products that contain flammable materials or gases, things that have corrosives in them, cleaners, other things. I do a lot of searching on eBay. I'm always, it's one of my platforms that I look on all the time. And I find, you know, you can buy airbags on there. Airbags are hazardous materials. That's the nice thing about e-commerce and especially eBay. You can find pretty much anything you want.
Well, you can find it, but can you ship it is the question.
So if you follow the rules, you can ship it. Everybody can be a hazmat shipper. There are certain rules and regulations you have to comply with. And we have it structured so that depending on the risk that the material presents, and that's usually the material and the quantities, there are different rules for those. If you think about it, we have some hazardous materials that are shipped in very small quantities. We call those de minimis quantities of material. So our regulations allow those to be shipped largely outside of the regulatory scheme. We say you have to package them properly and you have to just make sure they're in the right packages. When I say very small quantities, these are things like nail polish and perfumes and other things like that. It's very small quantities. These are generally inner packages or inner receptacles are less than 1 milliliter, which is about 0.03 ounces. So it's not a lot of material.
Okay.
So if you're shipping very small quantities, we realize the risk is low, so we let you out of them. And then there's kind of another layer that is limited quantities. I will say, let me stop for just a second and explain that our regulations are aligned with the U.S. Postal Service regulations. So we regulate all the ways of transport that does not include U.S. Postal Service, but we work very closely with our Postal Service counterparts. And if you look at our regulations and Pub 52, which is the Postal Service regs, they're very aligned. So we try to make it very easy for the marketplace to really be able to move hazardous materials. I talked about the limited quantities. Those are materials that are typically what I would see on eBay. They're limited quantities of materials. It's not a gallon or two of things. It's usually smaller quantities. And so those get shipped without all the hazard communication requirements that are required for a large shipment. So there are some basic packaging requirements. You know, if you follow those, you could take those to UPS, FedEx, DHL, whatever the carriers that they have, and you can offer those.
I have an example I want to ask you about because a lot of our sellers offer these things. What about a 3.4 ounce bottle of Eau de Toilette or some other cologne or fragrance? What do I have to know about shipping that?
You have to know that it's hazardous materials. That's kind of the first thing. So you have to know that it's flammable, it's corrosive. And then first you want to look at eBay's rules. So eBay has rules of what they will and will not accept. I will say eBay has a very good section for shipping hazardous materials, their HAZMAT policy. So you can go on there and get a lot of information. And if you're shipping, the 3 ounces of the material, if it fits within the limited quantity definition or small quantities, then the regulations will tell you what you have to do. And without getting into specifics, because actually my computer is sitting on my book right now. So it's one of those things.
Bill, you came prepared. I just love that.
I did. I think when you're going to ship, there are, you can go on the links in eBay's and actually figure out how to ship it. You can go on our website. We have a lot of information for people on how to ship. And more importantly, we have a call center. So if you have a question, in addition to eBay providing help, you can call our call center at 1-800-467-4922. And that number, that's manned 9 to 5 every day. And you can ask them questions about it, and they'll help you with any questions about how to ship it, how to prepare it. It's one of the services we provide. We really want people to be prepared.
We will put the links to any and all relevant related material, websites, documents in the transcript and summary for episode 306. So keep that in mind as well. What are some of the concerns if I'm packing, a 3.4-ounce bottle of fragrance?
You'll find our regulations, particularly for small fire, limited quantities. Our regulations are, you have to have a strong, tight outer package, and you have to have the inner package protected so that it's not going to fall or break. Its contents aren't going to open up. It's very similar to what you would want to do anyways. Nobody wants their customer to get a package, open it up, and their product is spilled all over it.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst.
Generally, you want to take your package, you want to fill up the space inside with some type of material that will prevent the inside box from bouncing around. And some materials require absorbent material inside so that if it does break, it absorbs it. It doesn't allow it to get outside.
That's a good point.
So if you're taking the care, then properly sealing the package and marking it, labeling it. We try to make it easy for people.
So what happens in the case, going back to lithium batteries, because I know that's a big part of e-commerce, are people that are shipping electronic devices, could be computers or cameras, that come with lithium batteries. What should they be thinking of when they're packaging up to ship a used laptop or a new laptop or something with a lithium battery in it?
When it comes to lithium batteries, today, most of it is lithium ion batteries. You can have lithium metal batteries that are more the non-rechargeable. They're single-use batteries.
Yes, yeah.
And those have more restrictions. But when you're shipping lithium ion, you want to pay attention to the watt hours on them because that's going to tell you how you can offer them and your total number of cells or batteries in there. We'll give you a link that you could put on to our website that has a great handout on batteries, because with lithium batteries, what you have to think about is your method of transporting. When you think about eBay, we're an instant access society. People want their materials tomorrow. I spend a lot of time when I buy something looking at the website, tracking it, making sure that I'm watching it go through the system because I'm fascinated by our logistics system today. But people want it overnight. And to get it overnight, a lot of shipments have to go by air. And some lithium batteries are prohibited by air. So you have to just pay attention to that and make sure that if your batteries that you have are too large, too energy dense, that you don't put them in the air mode. You're going to have to use ground as a transporter. And as I said, you can always call us. We'll help people work through it. That's one of our areas that we really want to make sure the sellers don't get caught in doing the wrong thing, because the fines can be a little steep, and we don't want that. We'd rather help you do it right the first time, because that's always good for business.
Let's go there. What are some of the consequences for not following the rules and regulations of the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration?
If you're just inadvertently, what we call not intentionally breaking the law, we try to do a lot of education, but the penalties, we have minimums. So those minimums are right now $600 is the minimum.
Okay.
But the maximum goes up to almost $100,000.
Oh, yeah, I got to sell the house. Oh, no.
Yeah. And we think of small quantities, but sometimes small quantities can have big results.
Yes.
And if it results in a death, serious injury, or substantial property destruction in transportation, those can go up almost to $250,000. So the fines could be substantial. It's worth it to spend the time up front and have us help you do it. That's what we want.
Well, we didn't mean to scare you, but if you're shipping hazardous materials, it's not that difficult to be within the rules, but you need to be aware of them. So don't skip that step when you're printing the label. If you suspect that your item may fall under one of the hazardous materials quantities, look at the drop-down list. It's when you print a label and you check the box that I'm shipping hazardous materials and select the option that fits what it is you're putting into a package and sending. You want to be safe. You want not just yourself, you want your buyer and the people that are taking the item and putting it in the back of their truck and shipping it. You don't want anyone to get hurt, and following the rules will make sure that doesn't happen. We'll put all the links to everything we've talked about for the PHMSA in the transcript for this episode, episode 306. Bill, I want to thank you so much for coming on and enlightening us about this topic.
Yeah, thank you. I'm super excited. We're projecting somewhere between $6 and $8 trillion of revenue in the next couple of years. And so we want to be part of it. We want to make sure that that we're growing businesses and helping them, and want to do it the right way.
Before we sign off, because everyone's interested, I got to ask you, and it's okay if you don't, but do you buy and sell online, specifically sell?
So I don't sell. I'm looking forward to it, but I do a lot of eBay buying. So it's one of my things. I'm more of a collector. So some people might say I'm building my pyramid right now. sooner or later, I'm going to have to realize that I got to get rid of my pyramid, and looking forward to that. But I have a lot of friends that sell on it, and it's I find it an amazing platform.
Well, when you're ready to start selling, come to the eBay community on the eBay site. And if you need help, we have lots of sellers who are more than willing to give you their expertise.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I will say, I'll leave you with one interesting tidbit when it comes to selling. I'm always looking for those interesting things that people sell on eBay, because there's always some fascinating things. You can buy insects, fish, birds, and other things, and they're packed in. Some of them are in ethanol, some in formaldehyde, and some are in propanol. But those are hazardous materials. People don't think about it because of the materials there. And you can offer those if you maintain the quantities below what we have in our regulations, which are enough to be able to package them properly. And if you ship those, we actually accept those from the regulations. So there's all kinds of areas where we try to make it easy for people to do business. So,
well, I didn't know that. Now I've learned something myself. Not that I'm going to get into that line of selling, right, but you know. Right.
Absolutely.
Well, Bill, thanks again. It's been a pleasure.
Griff, thank you. Appreciate the time.
Bill Schoonover is the Associate Administrator for the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. We've been talking about hazardous materials and how you can ship them properly. Again, we'll provide all the links necessary for you to understand and comply with the guidelines that the PHMSA has so that you can ship safely. Just check out the transcript for episode 306.
You've got questions.
Well, we've got answers. And this week, we'll be highlighting a few questions from the 2024 Seller Summer Update. Now, there were a lot of questions posted on that community forum, but the topic that's received the most questions is the one with regards to yet another EU regulation.
I already know what you're talking about. You must mean the EU General Product and Safety Regulation.
The GPSR, or what I'm going to refer to from now on as the GPSR. So yes, another, what some sellers consider, and they've made it clear in their comments, another nanny state regulation. I won't comment. But before we answer a few of the questions on this topic, I think we should, for those who haven't visited the Summer Update page, give them a brief overview of what the GPSR is. So,
okay, well, the General Product Safety Regulation, GPSR, which goes into effect December 13th, 2024, introduces specific safety-related information that businesses must provide when selling to buyers in the European Union or EU, and also Northern Ireland, NI. If you don't sell in or ship to these regions, the GPSR isn't applicable to you. Lucky you.
So December 13th is the effective date. We've got some time here then.
Yes, we do. We've got a bit of time. The General Product Safety Regulation applies to new, secondhand, repaired and reconditioned items sold on eBay and all other marketplaces. There are few products and categories that are excluded from the GPSR. You can view the entire list of excluded categories on our Seller Center page.
Okay, so the GPSR, the GPSR, requires all business sellers to add the following information for eligible items available for sale in the EU or Northern Ireland. They are the product manufacturer's name and contact information. If the manufacturer isn't located in the EU or Northern Ireland, you'll have to indicate an EU or NI-based responsible person or entity along with their name and contact details. And I can sense some sellers going, what?
I can feel their blood pressure rise.
Me too. Also, any relevant product information like model number, picture, type, and CE marking. And finally, product safety and compliance information like safety warnings, labels, and product manuals in the local language. So all of those I think are doable. I think it's that second one about finding a responsible person or entity if the item isn't located in the EU. I think that's going to drive a lot of US sellers crazy. So we'll deal with that in a moment.
And of course, collecting this information will be time consuming, that's for sure. But adding it to your listings will ensure compliance with the regulation so you can continue selling those items to buyers in these regions.
Yeah. So how will eBay make this potentially onerous process easy for sellers? Okay, so eBay is working on a new feature that's designed to simplify the process of adding all of this required information to one or more listings. eBay will notify sellers in July when you can start updating this information on your listings. In the meantime, the recommendation is that you start collecting this information so you'll be ready to comply with the regulation once it goes into effect. And one of the things we'll talk about moving forward this year is just how you find one of those persons or entities that you can add to your information. I know that the product team in eBay is working on a solve for that one.
So you'll just have to keep listening to all of our episodes in the future.
As hard as that may be.
So one of the first questions asked about the GPSR was which categories of items are exempt from the compliance requirements. Well, there is a list, so I hope you have your pencil and paper ready. Medicinal products, food and feed products, living animals and plants, genetically modified organisms and microorganisms, animal byproducts, plant protection products, also referred to as pesticides, plant and animal products related to their reproduction, antiques, aircraft, travel equipment operated by a service provider to transport consumers, and finally, any products that need to be repaired, reconditioned, or recycled prior to being used and are clearly marked as such.
One of the questions about the GPSR was in regards to eBay International Shipping, and user Wasting Time 101 wrote, if a seller does not disable direct shipping to the EU and Northern Ireland, but also does not update their listings with the information for GPSR compliance, will eBay restrict buyers in the EU and NI from purchasing those items? Well, someone from the team gave an answer. Hi, Wasting Time. eBay International Shipping will not surface items which are not compliant in the EU and Northern Ireland. Also, for passive cross-border trade sellers from non-EU sites, the manufacturer RP or non-EU sites, for example, the US, Australia, etc., won't be mandatory in the listing flow, but listings without this info won't be displayed on the EU sites for categories where we mandate them. So, yeah. Doesn't sound like there's a much call for action here, but that's for sellers that don't make a lot of sales or don't really care about those items not showing up in the EU.
And there are a few more questions asked on the thread about this topic, and you can scroll through them, read them, post your own on the thread labeled Get Ready for the EU General Product Safety Regulation on the main page for the 2024 Summer Seller Update.
There are also several other threads with pages of questions that you can read through on these pages. And one of them was for the immediate pay for auctions. There was a lot of negative sentiment posted by sellers who want to find a way to opt out. I think there is one. A lot of those questions are being researched as we speak. So go back to that thread when you get a chance and answers will be posted. You can also view the FAQs for each of the several topics in the update on the update page on Seller Center. So there's lots of answers already there and more answers are usually put in as we get them. Now you can get to that page by clicking the link for Seller Center on the bottom footer of most any eBay page. Then hover over the resources tab and then select updates.
And if you have specific questions about the 2024 Summer Seller Update, you can always ask us by calling your questions to us at 888-723-4630. Or if you prefer, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. Griff, question for you. Will you be adding the required information to your listings?
No, and I'll tell you why. I sell mostly fragrances and occasionally antiques, and I only use eBay International Shipping. I have made very few sales of non-fragrance items to buyers outside of the U.S., and eBay International Shipping already excludes all fragrances. So I think I'm pretty much in the clear here.
Interesting. Lucky you.
Yeah, me. Lucky. Go figure.
But you may not be so if you depend on sales into the EU and you sell products that are not exempt by category from the GPSR. So make sure you enter the required information prior to the December 13th, 2024 deadline.
Yeah, and just keep an eye on any updates as they happen, because eBay is working on more stuff to make this less onerous for sellers who definitely want to have their items appear in the EU. And now it's on to your tip of the week. And this week's tip was sent to us, by me.
Okay, lovely.
Okay. This one popped up because of a post I was reading on another Facebook group, and it was about looking for auctions that may have ended or disappeared or were unsold 90 days on. And so if you sell on eBay, you may have noticed that listings in your orders page or unsold column on Seller Hub, they'll disappear about 90 days after they sell or they've ended. But did you know you can find a lot of important information for those listings that were sold as far back as 1 year? Because when you sell an item, eBay will send you an email with the subject line, "You got paid for," and then the item title. Or for listings going back to 2023 or farther back than 2023, the subject line back then was, "You made the sale." Save these emails, because the links in them will take you directly to the orders detail page for that sale, which will include a photo of the item for up to 1 year. So while the order details page is not as extensive as the listing page when it comes to information, it can still be valuable if you need to track when an item sold and for how much. So it's not the same as the sold listing page, but it's the next best thing. So that's this week's tip.
That's a great tip. And yeah. I was going to ask, is there a deadline? Do they expire? But I guess you want to try to access it in that 1 year deadline.
Yeah, I was going back looking when they expired. I noticed the pictures disappeared after a year, but I didn't push it back more than that.
Okay, well, maybe I'll try my hand out at a tip this week.
Good.
Check the show notes in Apple or Spotify for links referenced in the episode, and check the eBay announcement board every day to stay up to date on eBay news, launches, and changes.
Well, that's an excellent tip. Thank you, Kaomi. I know. Now, on our next episode, episode 301, thankfully, we'll welcome eBay seller Stephanie Franco. She'll tell us about how she went from below standard, not above standard, below standard, to top rated in record time.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Associate Administrator of the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, William Schoonover.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced in-house by the eBay podcast team. Georgia Mampanis is our monthly co-host for Seller Spotlight, as well as our guest coordinator.
And I am your weekly co-host, Kaomi Kiyoshi.
And I'm so glad you are. And I'm editor-in-chief and feline herder here at the podcast, Griff. The eBay for Business podcast is distributed by Quill and co-host. We'll see you next week, Kaomi.
See you for 301.